One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
You have your Bible. I want to speak with you tonight concerning the most colorful man that ever lived. The man who had the most varied, the most wonderful experiences of anybody, I think, of the Old Testament. You can turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus. That's that sweet and wonderful getting out book, Exodus. There's the exit. That word exit and Exodus are kinfolks. Exodus means getting out. God raised up an Exodus. You know what the Exodus was? It was a man. You know his name was? It's Moses. He was the man that went to the burning bush. He was the man that was born with the sentence of death over his head. He was the man that was laid as a baby in the ark of the bulrushes and then stayed in Pharaoh's court for 40 years. Then 40 years he was sentenced to the wilderness of loneliness because he killed an Egyptian, and even the Israelites turned against him. And for 40 more years, that's 80 years, we find him over, actually, on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. God is talking with him. He's an old man. And let me tell you something. You're probably going to think a little different when you get to be old or older than you think tonight. I mean, sometimes our judgments are so immature. I know some babies of 5. I know other babies at 55. I wouldn't mind being a 5-year-old baby, but I'd hate to be a 55-year-old baby. I know some 7-year-old immature children. I know some 77 immature children. Old people, foolish, still wicked and sinful, and immature in their thinking. I stood at the funeral time for a 42-year-old man. Known him since he was 14. It's all over for him. It's all over. I went to the hospital and I visited with a man of political fame. The outstanding police officer, the highest police officer in the city, as chief and also assistant chief. It's all over now. He's talked many a time, but he can't talk anymore. He tried to talk with me. I held his hand and put one hand on his head and prayed for him, and tears rolled. Honeys, you may be young now, but it'll be over someday. And we're building every day in a good or evil way. Amen. Brother, we need God's grace, don't we? Denominationalism failed. Religion failed. But Jesus never fails. Now I want you to look with me at a man. He's standing at the end of the runway almost. His 40 years is over in Egypt's land. His 40 years is over in the wilderness. And his last division of 40 years is almost to a close. He's had an experience in the 32nd chapter. I never connected it. In the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. It's an outstanding experience when a man of God had to show his colors. And it's not easy. While we were preaching in another state, a man got so mad he got up and stomped out. I'd a lot rather preach on heaven than hell. And I'd rather preach a soothing message and a skinning message. I don't particularly enjoy using the skinning knife, and yet I believe that that's one thing wrong with our churches. We have not cried out against sin. We've got too many folks that have never known. They've never had any conviction at all for sin. You girls come here, and your first question, what's wrong with so-and-so? What's wrong with rock and roll? What's wrong? Well, let me turn it around and ask you a question. What's right with it? What's happened to the girl since he got into it? What's happened to the young people? They've gone right straight down to hell. Their lives have been wrecked. What's happened since singers singing songs that were full of the flesh, the world, and the devil? What's happened to the young people? Anybody ought to have sense enough to know that when little girls go to a rock festival or to one of these concerts and begin to jerk off their clothes and swoon and fall and faint and become immoral, anybody ought to know that's of the devil. Haven't you got sense enough to know that? I mean, why would you come up to a preacher and claim yourself to have good sense and say, what's wrong with something that's wrecked our young people? Why don't you wake up a little bit? I just turn it around and say, what's right about it? What contribution has it made to morals? This is the most immoral generation that ever walked across America. It's not as bad to be immoral. I'm going to make a statement I've made before. It's not so bad to be immoral, and be careful now what I'm saying, as it is to be immoral and think it's right. See, that's what the young people are saying. Now, back through the years, there's never been a generation there wasn't some immorality. You know that. But there's never been a time in the life of the United States of America but what the preachers and the Christians, even decent people, knew that immorality was wrong. It was sinful and ungodly. And it was the sin that brings death. But not anymore. It's sort of a virtue now. I mean, that's what the psychiatrists recommend. That's what many of the doctors recommend. That's what the preachers say many times, that let old Mother Nature have her way. And that's the reason we're in the fix we're in right now. And I tell you why we're there. The preachers have not cried out against sin and have not called it by its name and warned the people and told them what's going to be the consequences and the wages of sin. Now, this man has been up on the mountain for the first Bible conference we're having a record of. He'd been up to get the Word of God. And I mean, he had a great experience. Thundered, lightened, God spoke and wrote, and Brother Moses came out of the mountain, had the Word of God under his arm, and started down the mountainside with his good man Friday and his good helper by the name of Joshua. And Joshua said, Moses, hold it just a minute. Stand still just a minute. He said, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, strangest noise I ever heard. That's what the noise is today, isn't it? Haven't we got some strange noises in the world today? The noise of war is in the camp. The noise of war is in the home camp. It's in the church camp. It's in the young people's camp. Everywhere you go, it's strange noise. He said it's not the shout of those that are overcoming. It's not the shout particularly of those that are being overcome. It's a strange thing. There's a noise of war in the camp. He said it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery. These are the voice of them that cry for being overcome. There doesn't seem to be a war going on. Oh, but they'd lost the battle. He said they're not being overrun from outside. But I tell you what was happening. They were being overrun from the inside. And this was the picture. When they got down there and looked into the camp, they found the first big nationwide dance taking place. I mean, the children of Israel, and I'm not against dancing. I'm just against the wrong kind. I got a little song I sing sometime. When we're inside those gates of pearl, we're going to learn a lot of things. We'll have a harp that's made of gold, perhaps a thousand strings. We're going to sing and shout. We're going to dance all about. Our lamb will dry those tears. We'll have a glad homecoming week the first 10,000 years. I'm going to do some dancing when I get home. But I got to get rid of this body before I start dancing. Amen. I get the new one, everything will be all right. Now, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about because y'all are so pious and so holy and so sinless until you just plumb full of the devil. I mean, nothing could ever happen to you. That's because you're blind and dead in trespasses and sin. But I'm conscious of sin. I'm conscious of sin. Moses and Joshua came up in the camp. And you know what? I want you to notice. They didn't have on clothes. They were dancing. And you know what they had? They was dancing around their idol. You know what the idol was? The golden calf. They came to Aaron, the associate pastor. He happened to be the wrong kind. Moses didn't have the kind I have. Aaron, they came to Aaron and said, make us a god. For this man Moses, we don't know where he is. Fact is, the whole committee came up and said, I hope he never comes back. Straight lace, hard to get along with. Got too many standards and rules and regulations. And we don't know what. Now, make us a god that we can what? See. We won't see our god. Let's have a seeing religion. And religion is always dependent upon seeing, not believing. He said, all right, bring your golden earrings and all your necklaces and all your jewels and all your valuables. Bring them in here. And he put them in an old pot and they came out a golden calf. And now then, you know what they did? They danced around that calf. And Moses came up. And have you ever noticed? Now you listen to me a minute. This is exactly right. The more religion people have, the less clothes they wear. And that's the reason we've got a lot of these little silly church members that are not wearing enough clothes when they go to church to make a legging for a hummingbird. And they think it's all right. And the preachers will not say one thing about it. And they think I'm a little foolish. But dear friends, can't you see the link between the Bible irreverence and lack of respect? You think Moses said, well, isn't that cute? Isn't that just like people? No, he didn't either, brother. Brother, that old fireball come a-walking in there. That old porcupine preacher come a-walking in there. And he looked at him and took that old foot of his and drew a line across there and said, all right, let him that's on God, the Lord's side, come and stand by me. We're fixing to divide this whole thing up right now. That's pretty hard to do sometimes. And the average preacher dreads to do it. He's afraid to do it. He said, man, I can't split my church. He split his right down the middle. Just give me the split that loves God and I'll pray for the other split. Brother, if it takes a split, let her split. We need some preachers that'll draw the line today. Just draw the line, whether people like it or don't like it. And so he did. You know what happened? A bunch of them came, stood in the gate of the camp, said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. They gathered unto him. Notice, the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. You know what Moses told them to do? He said, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion. Think about that. And every man his neighbor. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. There's a horrible day. I know it. But I believe God was in it. It wasn't easy for Moses. That's 3,000 people he'd led out of Egyptian bondage. That's 3,000 people that crossed the Red Sea and drank water from the rock that was stricken by the rod. And that's the crowd that had eaten manna from heaven and had had all the provisions of God in a miraculous way. Yet 3,000 of them are dead now. Had 3,000 funerals one day. You say, that's awful hard. I know it. But brother, he came and had to deal with a problem. They had gone off into idolatry. They'd pulled off their clothes. They had become immoral in their dress. And he said, this is a serious crime and we're not going to overlook it. And I don't know why we'd think we can overlook this business today and expect God to bless us. He drew the line. I tell you, I never had seen this. I'm going over this again. It said, every man, his brother. You mean to tell me that if a man had a brother, I mean even a physical brother, that wouldn't get on the right side, he had to kill him? Now, it could be a brother in the great work that they were doing. Every man his companion. You mean a husband? I know some women. I'll guarantee you I've seen a flock of them that's mighty rebellious. Talked to a preacher. He said, I'm alone. My wife said, if you're going to preach, you can go by yourself. Did you know what he told? He said, every man, every person, his companion. You mean a man says to his wife, aren't you going to get over on this side? Wife out there dancing around without any clothes on. Said, come on over, honey. Let's get on the right side. Let's get right. She said, I'm not going to do it. I'm sick of these rules and regulations. I'm sick of this law business. This fellow Moses, I wish he'd have never come down off of the mountain. And you can go your way and I'm going my dancing way. And I tell you, he pulled a sword and cut her head off and said, all right, you've had it. You say, that's horrible. I know it. But you see, I'm not that rough, but some of you think we're too hard, don't you? You think because our standards are high. And yet, have you ever heard any singing like you heard tonight? I haven't. Why? You've had an experience, and the rest of you might as well come on across, because you're never going to be happy till you do. Some of you left this home and went right back to the world, the flesh and the devil. You wasn't happy one moment you was out there. Not one. You were happier here than you ever were in your life. That old drunk met me, and he said, Brother Wolof, the happiest days of my life were the days that I was connected with the enterprises. I've never had a happy day since I left. Never. All right. I'm going to leave that. But isn't it strange that when it's all over, it seemed that God came along And God said to Moses, verse 34, "Therefore, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," and you see that dash in there in the King James Version, "and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Brother, that's a man of God for you. You talk about compassion and love. Even though 3,000 of his church members are now dead, if we could put it like that, there they are, 3,000 people weeping. Maybe a husband without a wife, little children without a mother. And yet Moses said, "Father, dear Lord, I want you to forgive them." And he said, "I want you to blot out all their sins." Because they still had the sins. Even though they got on the right side, they had to have their sins blotted out. You know what he said? He said, "Blot out their sins, not them. But if you're going to blot them out, just blot me out with them." Brother, Paul said, "I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." I need that kind of spirit. I really do. And I'm not just talking. I need that. I need to identify myself with people like that and say, "Lord, I don't want to go like that, but if you just can't do anything for them, I'm going with them. And not that I'm going to sin with them." No, didn't say that. But he said, if you got to blot them out because of their sin, I'm their pastor and their leader. And evidently, maybe it's my fault. He said, "Blot me out with them." But now let's go to the text. They got two wonderful texts. "The Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Whoever has sinned against me, that's the person I'm going to have to deal with. Now verse 34. "Therefore now, go lead the people unto the place of which I've spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." Now then, what is the place? What is the place? Are you looking for God's place for your life? Are you looking for God's will for your life? You must find God's will for your life. It's the only safe place. It's the victorious place. He said, "Lead them to the place which I have spoken unto thee." Now, what place is that? That's the place of the Word of God. That's what he said. It's the spoken place. You've got to go lead them to the book. Lead them to the book. We've got to lead the girls to the Bible place. The Bible said Judas knew the place, but he didn't pay attention. He knew the prayer place. They said, "Do you know where Jesus is?" "Oh, yeah," he said, "I've been there many times. I know he's out there in the place of prayer." He knew where the place of prayer was. He didn't pay attention to it. He didn't go out there to pray. But he took them out to where Jesus was and betrayed him. All right, chapter 33. Now I'm going to pause long enough and come to my main text and raise the question, answer it, and then we'll be through. Now, Moses is old. He's had many burdens on his heart. He's had more experiences than any man of his generation. Deliverance, Pharaoh couldn't stop him. The Red Sea couldn't drown him. They couldn't starve him to death out in the wilderness. Wasn't any water. They couldn't starve him when there wasn't any food. God gave manna from heaven. Now then, he has seen more miracles than any man of his generation. He's seen God protect him when the odds were against him. He's seen everything that a mortal eye nearly could see. Now then, he's old, and God seemed like paid him a visit one day and said, "Moses, let's talk a little while." I mean, he got the best vision of God of any man that ever lived, and he still lived. He wasn't supposed to live after what he saw, but God permitted him to live. Now then, God said, "Moses, I want to ask you a question. What would you like to see now? Would you like to see my miracles?" "No, sir." And you know, I tell you what, I believe the older we get in Christ and the more mature we get, it's not just the miracles we want to see, it's the miracle worker we want to see. It's not just the power that we want to see, it's the giver of the power that we want to see. "Moses, I know your foot's getting a little slow, and it won't be long before you're going to climb that last hill and that last mountain. You're going up on it pretty soon, Moses. It won't be long now. And I want to ask you before you go, is there anything that you'd like me to show you?" Moses said, "Yes, Lord, more than anything else. I want to see one thing." Now, if you'll read that chapter, he'll say, "Lord, I want you to show me thy way. I want you to show me thy way. I want to see the way. I want to be in the way. See, I want to find the way. See." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But now, there's another thing. He said, "Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." Verse 14. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Now then, verse 18 is the text. "What do you want to see, Brother Moses?" And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." I want to see the glory of the Lord. Oh, I want to see the glory. Moses said, Lord, let me gaze on glory. Let me look at the glory of God. I tell you, he had a lot of glory himself if you want to think about it. I mean, listen, when a man can stand flat-footed with millions of Israelites and raise a rod and just and watch that water part on both sides, he could have turned around and said, how you like that, fellas? Isn't that the power of God? Move on across! Talk about walking old Pharaoh's office with those big guards standing around those old glistening swords and spears and shields and those old army soldiers standing there, you know, with their eyes trained on him. And Pharaoh reared back in his plush office and said, all right, what are you doing in here? What do you want? He said, let my people go that they may serve me. God said. I can hear him give him the horse laugh. Well, isn't that something? You mean all my millions of slaves? You mean my little Hebrew servants? You mean the Israelites? He said, you heard it the first time. Amen. You read me loud and clear. Let them go. Turn them loose. And I imagine just before he told, and I can see those old soldiers standing there fingering their swords. I can see one of them and the others getting ready. And they said, boy, this is going to be a riot. We'll carve him. I mean, we'll shave him to pieces. I mean, we're just waiting for the orders of the highest political leader in the world, the most powerful man, old Pharaoh. Tell me when you're ready. And Pharaoh said, before we start the execution, just who sent you anyhow? Moses stood there with fire coming out of his eyes and holy indignation and with a burden for the deliverance of millions of Israelites. And he said, the great I am sent me. Amen. Old Pharaoh melted in his chair. And the fellow's hands began to be limp. And I imagine one of them said, I hope he doesn't tell me to raise my sword. I'm out of strength. Amen. Amen. Brother, he saw the power of God. Listen, he came up to a rock, just a big old rock, and the people, their tongues were swelling, and they could hardly talk, and the little children were hollering, Mama, oh, water, 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 Mama. And they were weeping, and the people came and said, what'd you do, bring us out here to die in this awful wilderness? There's not a drop of water, and this old sunshine is burning us up, and the sand is mocking our thirst, and we're dying. We can't talk. And he's took that rod and said, he saw the power of God. He saw the power of God. Now then, the old long-whiskered, wonderful man of God, the old patriarch, stands at the close of life's glorious day. And God talked with him like he would his next-door neighbor and said, what would you like to see? I said, Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. I don't want power and miracles. I want to see the glory. I'm getting awful close to home. Won't be long, I'll be in the midst of the glory. Better give me a glimpse of it before I get there. Show me thy glory. Ah, brother, I tell you, that's talk of a mature Christian. He didn't say, show me how I can do a big job for God and how I can build a dormitory and how I can do... No, he said, just want to see the glory of God.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today is entitled, The Most Colorful Man. If you would like to receive this on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3272. 3272. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10, and we'd like to have today's date. Also, the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And if you'd like to use your credit card, you can call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar program, and also we entitle it Letter Month. It's also the month that Brother Roloff really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here's from Dallas, Texas, said, friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you. And we love that message also, my friend. Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway.
That's a beautiful title. I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all. And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years, and maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled, Faith, the Second Greatest Gift. This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, what does faith have to offer? And where can I get faith? How do I use it? Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.